Greetings all, this is Twatch Radio episode number 001.
SWAT Radio, episode 1. We've got a few ideas here for what exactly to call this, but we're going to let the listeners decide. Droops, what's the...
We've got techies with attitudes, and that's kind of stretching the twat, because we came up with twat, and we didn't have like a... We had the acronym, but no name for it.
Yeah.
Now we've got talk with a techie, we've got techs with attitudes, or techies with attitude, or tech with attitude.
Awesome.
And the attitude's kind of pushing it, but it'll work.
Yeah, okay. That's okay with a good acronym.
Yeah. And what are we trying to do with this show, bud?
I think we're really just pushing some hardcore tech. Not today's weekend news or any kind of gibberish like that. Just
what color my boogers are.
Yeah, what I ate for breakfast, how much fiber my cat's eating, whatnot.
So it's going to be pretty boring for people that aren't interested in hardcore tech.
Definitely.
But for the real nerds out there, it should be pretty good.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a lot of good discussion about some high-end new tech. Not like stuff that came out this week, but current technology, processor lines, different stuff. We've got some old stuff that's pretty cool also, I think we'll be talking about.
Super old. Like 1800s old.
Cool.
And we're going to do a daily radio show, and people are like, daily? How the heck are you going to do a daily radio show? Well, we've got a whole bunch of people that want to do this, and we're going to take turns. Like, today is my day, and I'm in charge of doing the show, so I said, hey, Dawson, man, let's do a show. And he said, okay, and now he's helping out, but this doesn't count toward his day. And
cool.
He didn't know that till right now. But
I have no idea, but that's great.
The more people we have, like if we had 30 people... And each person would have to record at least 12 shows a year. And that's not bad if you're putting out a daily show. So anybody that wants to help is welcome to email us. My email is droops@gmail.com. It's the easiest one. And say, hey, I want to help. Either you want to help mix the shows, you want to be on the show, you want to just provide some content for the show. And the more people, the less work everyone has to do.
Terrific.
Terrific. So you wanted to talk about some stuff, so go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's always just kind of occurred to me, let me back up there. I crashed into the car behind me. A lot of people like to talk about current processor technology, and in my job, I actually work a lot with some high-end stuff, mostly IBM-branded hardware, some other stuff too, but... it's kind of funny when Intel announced that they were going to have this new processor with hyper-threading. And it was really just kind of a revelation that, it wasn't a revelation, but it was just kind of proof that Intel really is catching up with a lot of the other processor makers. And Intel certainly has led the pack towards processor speeds and stuff, but they really fell behind in some other stuff like hyper-threading. And other people... might be saying, well, what are the processors that had hyper-threading, or where does this come from? Well, I mean, hyper-threading really started being discussed back in, like, the late 80s, and actually, let me rephrase that, not hyper-threading, but multi-threading, where you can have multiple processors running on a core, and there were some serious IEEE standard drafting and stuff going on in the mid-90s, and IBM, actually, released the RS64 processor, which had what they call hardware multi-threading, which would allow processes to take over when another one was waiting for, like, memory. You know, so your memory latency could be taken advantage of, so you could have threads executing when one's waiting for memory requests and such. And anyway, also, like, the Alpha Line, the EV8 was a chip that was going to supposedly have some what they call simultaneous multi-threading, but I don't believe the EVE actually made it out and got designed and sold. It was kind of gutted like the rest of the Alpha line, so that was kind of sad for Alpha geeks out there that really like the Alpha line. They had some good technology, but they got gutted and sold. But anyway, so back to Intel and IBM. IBM had an R64 line, which was in the strange hybrid type of system, was a combination. You could buy the hardware as an R6000 or an AS400. Wasn't that cool?
That's cool.
Excellent. And so anyway, you know, and you could get that, and not many people ever were quite aware that that was a feature you could turn on in the hardware. But so that was back in May of 2000 that the IBM released the multi-threading in its first incarnation. And then Intel back in June of 2003, I believe, was when they debuted hybrid threading in their Xeon processors and let it trickle down to other ones in their line. So anyway, I just wanted to share a little bit of that and let people know, you know, some of the different things that have trends that have been happening in processors, and that now that I know Intel finally stated they're going to focus on dual core processors and lower power processors that require less current to run. So you can have cooler running machines and such. But, you know, so I was actually looking at some Intel marketing literature on the when they first released their simultaneous, or I'm sorry, what they call their hybrid threading. And one of the things they pointed out was the amount of processor that was used for the same effect in say, Power 4. And strange thing, when IBM went from the RS64, the next generation that kind of came out was the Power 3 second line, and they didn't use any hardware multi-threading. They just kind of left it out for a couple generations. Well, when the Power 4 generation came out, they had the option of using multi-threading, or they could have went ahead and went with the dual-core chips and to get the same similar boost in performance. But IBM went ahead and did the dual-core with the idea that Power 5 would have simultaneous multi-threading and dual-cores. And Intel at the time was kind of pushing, huh, look at them, that in order to get the effect of SMT, they actually have to make put two cores on a chip, ha, ha, ha. Little did they know that was all in the plan, and maybe they did know. I don't know. Marketing literature is pretty bogus at times, but, you know, like anyone that works a lot in tech kind of comes to expect that. But anyway, that is just a little bit of more background I think a lot of people have on the whole hyper-threading debacle. And I just remember I had discovered hardware multi-threading with the system I worked on, and thought it was pretty cool, and this was back in, you know, 2003. No, actually, it was more like 2001 that I'd first found out about it. And so when I heard that Intel's releasing it, I was like, okay, I assume this is the same thing as hardware multi-threading that IBM's had. And it was kind of interesting to see people learning about how this all worked all over again. It's just a little bit of background on that, and I don't know, some people might like it, some people might not, it might be kind of boring, but I think it's kind of insightful. I hope our listeners find it the same way.
Well, hopefully we'll find the kind of listeners that we want.
Excellent. And that's about all I had to say about hyper-threading.
Well, I guess you're all going to have to tune in tomorrow and listen to the next installment of the TWANT Radio Show.
TWANT Radio.
TWANT Radio.